With us in the Psalm 51, one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 51, or Psalm 50, I'm sorry, Psalm 50 is the one I'm wanting, and I like both of them psalms. I love David's prayer of repentance, his acknowledgement of his sin and of God's mercy and pleading for God's mercy. But I love Psalm 50 because God reminds us of something that he wants. You know, and y'all have heard me preach this. I've heard preachers talk about the difference in the sacrifice between Abel and Cain. And preachers will say, well, it was because it was a blood sacrifice and God required and demanded a blood sacrifice and Adam taught his children to sacrifice. There's nowhere in the Bible that it teaches that. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that. The Bible, in fact, teaches that from Adam unto Moses, sin was in the world, but where there is no law, the sin is not imputed unto man. So that makes that argument, that doctrinal theology, a lie. The difference was that God had Abel's heart. Abel brought the best of what he had. He didn't just bring the best, he brought the best of the best to give it unto God. Now, let me tell you something. You know, there's a good picture there and a good type and preaching about the blood and everything. And all that's well and good. But I told you before, God doesn't need our embellishment to make his word truth. Amen. See, the only thing that Abel could bring God and the only thing that Cain could bring God was their heart. That's the only thing that God has given us control over. Right here in Psalm 50, God reiterates that fact that it all belongs to him. It's all his anywhere. And all he wants is our heart. And when we surrender our heart, the only thing that he gives us control over is when we have truly given ourselves to him. Amen? I want to preach to you tonight a Thanksgiving message, and this thought, Thanksgiving because. Thanksgiving because. In Psalm 50, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And I'm going to do something. I'm going to ask Brother Steve McGill if he would read verses 1 to 15 for me. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. It's truth. Help us, Lord, just to see something that draws us closer to you and helps us, Father, to be more mindful of your blessings upon our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's telling Israel here, said, look, he said, I am God, and I have made everything, and you think that all these things is what I'm wanting, all these things is what I'm looking for. He said, I don't want these things. He said, I want your heart. I want you to trust in me, and that's the gist of what we have just read here, and you know, when we stop and think about God, and we stop and think about all the things that he's saying here, it puts us in the right frame of mind. Sometimes we think, well, I came to church, or I did this, and I did that. So what? Amen. There's heathens sitting on church pews every Sunday morning. Amen. That won't surrender their hearts and have never given their lives to Jesus. Amen. They're there all the time and they think that's their sacrifice. And some folks say, well, I did this and I did that, but they never praise God. And he tells us in Hebrews that we are to offer the sacrifice of praise. Amen. The sacrifice, the fruit of our lips. Amen. Not just tears, not just sitting there being quiet, that we're not ashamed ashamed to give Him praise and glory and honor for who He is and what He's done and what He's doing in our lives. Amen. I'm glad that in the valley He's good. I'm glad that sometimes He brings us out of the gutter and sets us on the pinnacle of the mountains. Amen. And makes us to rule and to reign in places that we've never dreamed of. I'm glad God does these mighty and wondrous works and these mighty and wondrous things in our lives. But sometimes we just forget the little things of why we should be thankful. Thanksgiving because, number one, the reason for thanksgiving is that we serve an awesome God. In verses 1 to 6, as we read here, and as Brother Steve has read in our text here tonight, God is reminding Israel who He is, the mighty God. Even the Lord has spoken and called the earth. Man, we need to get back to the realization that the one that we're giving thanksgiving to is the one that has made it all and the one that owns it all. Amen. There would be nothing. We would be nothing. We would have nothing if it were not for Him. If it were not for Him, we wouldn't have the next breath to breathe. If it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't be able to wake up in the morning and go about our day and do the things that we want to do, the things that He's equipped us and prepared us to do. If it were not for Him, there would be no hope for mankind. If it were not for Him, there would be nothing that we could brag on. There's a mighty God in verse 1 that knows us. There's a God in verse 5 that knows us own. Aren't you glad that He knows you tonight? Aren't you glad that when you was a sinner, He knowed you, and He knew just where you were, and He knew just what your need was, and He knew just how to call you and to speak to you and to minister to you? Aren't you glad that He knowed you when you got saved and you was worshiping and He stopped by and just poured out a double portion of the blessing upon you? Amen. You ever been there where you just got that double portion from the on high, that double portion from God, and you just couldn't contain it, and you just wanted to shout the house down, but you said, why don't you just shout the house down and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen, for what you've done, and quit holding it back and let it go, and just praise Him and thank Him for what He's done. He knows you when you backslid and you let sin creep back into your life, just like He knew Achan had hid that thing, that accursed thing in his tent. He knows the accursed thing that's in your life, and yet He loves you enough to say, I'll forgive you. Amen. I'll tell you what, we ought to be thankful tonight, and we ought to give thanks just because of who He is. Amen. The world ought to see our lives and say, I don't know what it is about them, but they sure are thankful about everything that goes on. They sure are thankful about everything they have. They sure are thankful about every... Man, the boss hollered at them, and they were thankful. I asked them what they were thankful for, and they said, well, I still got a job. Amen. He didn't fire me. Amen. We lose sight of just how blessed we are and how good God is to us. How we lose sight of the fact that we're nobody, and the Creator of the whole universe thinks about us. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him? Amen. Have you ever thought about that? A God who has done everything, thinks upon you. A God that has created everything comes and visits you. The God of all creation looks at you and says, man, there's something that I love. I created him. I created her. And I love him. And I know him. Verse 6 says, and the heaven shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself, Selah. When you think about God and think about how He looks at us in our sin, He don't judge us according to what we deserve. He don't judge us according to what other people think and how other people would think. But he judges us according to his righteousness, his goodness, and because of who he is. Amen. We have the privilege to be who he wants us to become. The sons of God. The people of God. The children of an almighty God. The possession of the one who created it all. We ought to be thankful tonight. And we ought to realize the reason for thanksgiving is that God, the God that we serve, the God that we know, the God that we love, is the God that he is. I'm glad I don't have to serve some of the little g gods that some of these people serve. That I've got to prove myself worthy because my God knows I'm unworthy. And yet he loves me anyway. My God knows I'm going to fail him. And yet he loves me anyway. My God knows I'm going to sin, I'm going to be tempted, and yet he makes a way for me to escape. I'm thankful for who he is. But then number two, in verses 7 to 13, we ought to be thankful because of the reality of baseless thanksgiving and worship. You say, why should we be thankful for that? Because God didn't destroy his people. Because they failed to worship him. Amen. When Cain committed the sin that he sinned, God told him that if he would do right, did he not? He could find repentance. He could find deliverance if he would do right. Even though we don't give God the worship and the glory that he deserves and he's worthy of, he still loves us and he still blesses us anyway. Amen. Amen. Verse 7 says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God." When we go through the motions of being a Christian, but our heart's not in it. When we go through the motions of serving God, but our heart's not in it. When we go through the motions of living a life and everybody thinks, well, I don't know what's wrong with them. They said they're a Christian, but I don't know. They just don't seem like they're all into it. They're not as happy as this other bunch that I see running around here. Even when we don't give him our whole heart, he still loves us. Amen. Amen. See, that's what he's testifying against Israel for. He's given them the promised land. He's given them great blessings. He's laid the foundation for how to worship and how to sacrifice and how to honor God and how to honor your life between you and the people that you live around, you and your neighbor. The first commandment is to love God with all your heart. And what's the second commandment? To love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Those are the two pillars that the whole law hinges on. And yet people would go through the motions of doing things. It's like telling somebody you're sorry and still running around and holding a grudge in your heart for the rest of your life against them. Amen. You're not sorry. You just said you were sorry. Amen. You're not sorry. You just went through the motions. And you'll never be happy. You'll never find joy. You'll never find peace and contentment with that individual until your heart is in it. Until you're truly sorry. Amen. You'll never have a reason to be thankful until you come to the realization, until your heart is in it, there's never going to be anything different. You're just going to go through the motion. And you know what they say the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same conclusion. Amen. And isn't that what we do sometimes? We come to the church. Oh man, it's 6:30. Ain't they started yet? Oh my lands, it's 7:30. Aren't they done yet? When's he going to shut up? When's he going to sit down? When are we going to get out of here? We go through the motions. But our heart's not in it. I can't believe he's asking for testimonies. We're going to be here all night. Some of these people will never shut up. Amen. That's going to, I can look back here. I can read your faces. Amen. I can read your faces. Don't believe it. Just try me. Amen. But God says, I don't need your bulls. I don't need your goats. He said, I own them all. He said, what I'm testifying against you about is how you're worshiping. Your spirit, your attitude of coming into the house of God. Your attitude of coming before my presence. Your attitude when you should have a thankful heart and a grateful heart for all that I've done, and you come and you won't even bring me a decent sacrifice. If you read over in Malachi, his people got to where they brought the sick and the lame and everything else, and I would offer them as a sacrifice. They were unacceptable, and God is still wanting an acceptable sacrifice. And the only acceptable sacrifice that we can bring to him, the only acceptable sacrifice that we can give him is to surrender our whole heart unto him. Amen. Everything else, we're just going through the motions. Everything else, we're just pretending. And our churches are filled with a lot of great pretenders. Amen. We go through the motions, but we haven't adjusted to the reality that that's all that we're doing. We haven't owned up to it. We have. I like that story that Brother Sean told this morning about the wealthy man that got to go into the prison galleys, and he got to go down and he got to pick someone to set free. And the only one that was worthy to set free was the one that realized he was there because he belonged there. He deserved to be there. Amen. And that's the way we need to be as God's children. We need to learn that we deserve to go to hell. The only reason we're here today is by the grace of God. The only reason that we can come and we can worship and we can take the privilege that's granted unto us to give God some time out of our life and to give God the praise of our lips and to give God everything that we have and make everything that we have available unto him. And if he tells us to give it all away and to give it all up, that we'd be willing to do that. And sometimes the offering plate comes around and we wrestle with the offering. Sometimes we have to give something to somebody and we wrestle with giving something to somebody and some things, but sometimes we have to go speak to somebody and have to go witness to somebody that maybe we don't particularly like or we don't particularly care for. But God has sent us that way and we don't want to go. Well, imagine how it would be if that was you and God. The Bible says that God is too holy to look upon sin. But yet the psalmist says he's mindful of man and he visits us. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but God looks at us and says, I'm going to pour out my mercy and my grace. I'm going to pour out my loving kindness and my long suffering. I'm going to give all I have to these that I've created, even though they don't deserve it. And yet we can't have an attitude of thanksgiving, an attitude of worship, an attitude of praise about our lives. We ought to be thankful God doesn't treat us like we treat him. Amen. We ought to be thankful that when God looks at us and he sees us and he knows our hearts and He knows your heart right now, and he knows where your heart's at right now. Some of you are probably 15, 20 miles away from here. Amen. So some of you done up the road somewhere. Some of you done out eating somewhere. Some of you got other plans, and that's also on your mind. Why is it the Lord on your heart? Why is it the Lord on your mind? Why is it you focus on him instead of saying, well, I went to church, and well, I put money in the offering plate. Well, I did this and I did that. So what? Where is your heart? That's what God wants to know. Where's your heart? And he said, I'll testify against my people. I'm testifying against Israel. And he's testifying against us today. The words still stand true. That we're coming to worship and we're going through the motions. Look at what he said over in Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as the people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept to man. We no longer get excited about the things of God. How we go through the motion. How we say we love Jesus. How we sing, oh, how I love Jesus and everything else. But our heart is far from him. What's got our heart is the precepts, the things of men. Where's your heart at tonight? For if you don't have your heart in the right place, you can't worship the right way. Amen. But look at what he says in verses 14 and 15. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Amen. Amen. Offer unto God thanksgiving. We have the reason for thanksgiving, the reality of baseless thanksgiving, and the reward of thanksgiving. God said if we'll call on him, and if we'll come before him, and if we'll offer thanksgiving and pay our vows, what's our vows? The praise of our lips. Amen. Glorifying God. The church house ought to be one of the noisiest places in the world there is. We're worried about how quiet it is here. We're worried about how quiet we can be. This ought to be one of the noisiest places that you ever visit of God's people are praising God and shouting the house down. Amen. And I preach that and I say that a lot. It's the truth. Our purpose for coming together, our purpose for being here is not to hear some windbag preacher. It's to hear from heaven. Our purpose in being here isn't to hear the singers and how good the singers are or how bad the singers are or critique the singers. Our purpose in being here is to give God the glory in everything that we do. Amen. If we come with thanksgiving in our heart, we'll have praise on our lips. Amen. If we start being thankful for what we have and thankful for what he's done and thankful for how he's delivered us and thankful for how he's brought us through another week and another trial, thankful for knowing that we're going into a new week and he's going to be with us and we don't have to go it alone, and as we go through the valleys, he'll be there. As we get to the mountaintops, he'll be there. And everywhere in between, he's going to be there. We're not forsaken and we're not forgotten. Praise God. That ought to put an attitude of thankfulness about us and ought to put praise on our lips, and it ought to make us want to shout the house of God down when we get together. Amen. He said, give God thanksgiving and offer thy vows. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, in everything give thanks. You say, preacher, that's hard to do. You don't know the news that I got, preacher. So what? Isn't God bigger than your problems? Isn't eternity longer than what you've been promised on this earth? Amen. It doesn't matter. If the doctor says you're going to die, set your house in order. And be thankful that you're going to go home. Amen. I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to leave my kids and my grandkids. And I don't want to leave my church family behind. But when the Lord says it's time to go, praise God, I need to be ready to go. Amen. Man, I'm not leaving them behind. I know that if they know the Lord, they're going to join me. I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have delivered unto him. So therefore, I don't care what the news is. I'm going to be thankful that I have a God that loves me, a God that sees me, a God that visits me, a God that cares for me, a God that provides for me, and a God that has never forsaken me, a God that has never failed me, a God that has never let me down, not one time. And praise God, I don't care what I'm going through. I know my God is going to go through it with me, and I don't have to worry about all these things. In everything, give thanks. Amen. 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 But you don't understand, preacher. Yeah, I understand. I've lost. Yeah, I understand. I've seen things that I hope some of y'all never have to see. Yes, I understand. But I know this. My God's still greater than all of it. Amen. And my God's still worthy of praise. And the only way that I can effectively praise him is to be thankful. Yes. In everything. Mm-hmm. Did you get the book, brother? Is there? There's a brother that went through all kinds of things right there. Mm-hmm. Tortured for Christ. But he never stopped thanking God. They never stopped praying in the prison. I got to get Peter Sorovchek back here. Yeah, how many of y'all remember Peter Sorovchek? Hey, man, I need to get him back here. I need to get him to. He just blessed my heart. Amen. And he is such a blessing. But he grew up in the communist bloc. Amen. He got thrown into a labor camp where they just, their idea was to try to work you to death. You was a political question for being a Christian. He was arrested, thrown into a labor camp, and every day or every week, at the end of every week, they'd get all the prisoners. They were building a nuclear power plant, and they didn't use bulldozers. They didn't need bulldozers. They had all these laborers to do all the work. It's just like the Germans did during the Holocaust, and just like Stalin did in Russia. He just worked people to death, and that was their goal. And he said every week, at the end of the week, they'd gather you in, and they'd tell how many people lost an arm, how many people lost a finger, how many people were killed, how many people were just injured so bad that they'll never walk or anything again. And he went through all this stuff, but he said he went in there, and he was going to hide the fact that he was a Christian. He wasn't going to advertise that he was a Christian. He was just going to keep it to himself. He wasn't going to testify. He wasn't going to let anybody know. And after a while, a couple of weeks, the guys in his barracks thought that he was a plant. He was a snitch that had been planted in there because he didn't gamble and he didn't get into all the dirty jokes and get into all the stuff that they got into. And he kept to himself, and they was going to beat him one night and going to beat him up because they thought he was a snitch. And he said, "Oh, no, you got it wrong. You got it wrong." He said, "I'm a Christian." He said, I don't stay away because I'm a plant. I'm a Christian, and I can't partake of the things that you do. And, the things that you do are against me. I just purposed that I wasn't going to advertise that I was a Christian. But you know what? When you're a child of God, it's going to pop out. I don't care where you're at. Amen? And he said after that, he learned just to be thankful. He learned just to give God glory wherever he was at. And God blessed him. Just like it's almost a story of Joseph, amen, in the prison house. And God blessed his time there, his work there, and the things that he'd done, and helped him to get a better job and to get a promotion within the labor camp and all this. But the thing of it is, he realized in the midst of it all, that even though God had allowed him to go there, God was still God. You know, God's still God in the prison house. Amen. God's still God in the hospital. God's still God down at the job. God's still God in the boss's office when he's chewing your hide, and you wonder if there's going to be anything left when he gets done chewing your hide. God is still God. Amen. He's still God when the bank calls up and says, "Look, you got a deficit in your account, and we're going to have to charge you a fee." God is still God. Amen. But we lose sight of that. God says, call on me with thanksgiving. Offer. Pay your vows. Pay your offering. And he said, and there's a reward for it. You know why some Christians walk around with a defeated attitude and a defeated look on their face? It's because they don't have thankfulness in their heart. Amen. That they forgot to be thankful. Amen. Maybe I didn't wake up a millionaire this morning, but I woke up. Amen. You know, they say if you got change, just a handful of change in your pocket, that much change, you're richer than 98% of the people in this world. Do you realize that I don't care where you live or how you live? I don't care in what kind of squalor you might live in this country. There's people that will look at what you have and think you're rich. I've seen some shacks, man. I've been down in the mountains and seen shacks. I've visited in some shacks around here. I've been in some places that were so undescribable that you couldn't imagine visiting with people. And, you know, there's people that think, well, those people are just so poor. Those people are just so miserable. Their life is so poor. There's people in India that the only thing that they have to live under is a sack. They got the clothes on their back and a little sack. And when it's raining, that's all they got for protection. They would love to have that shack. Amen. I've been in some shacks in West Virginia that you could look outside. Haven't we? Amen. You could look out. You could see holes through the wall where you could look out and see the outside. You could look through the door. You could see cracks that wide in the door and see outside. And people just hauling wood and trying to keep warm and trying to seal the holes up. And places that were so pathetic that you couldn't imagine. But there's people who would look at that and think if they had that, they would have a mansion. In everything, give thanks. Amen. We need to get our attitudes changed. You know, Brother Brian Giesman uses that saying, stinking thinking. Amen. We need to quit looking at everything in a miserable light and be thankful for what God has provided, what God has brought. And if we're going through something, we can be thankful that when we go through it, God's going to be there with us. He said, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me. See, he wants our heart. Amen. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Why is the church house so quiet? Because we're not thankful for what God has given us. Amen. Why is the church house so quiet? We're not thankful for what God has done for us. Why are we so quiet and why aren't we glorifying and praising God? Because we have forgot how good God is and how blessed we are because of all that he's done for us. Amen. Thanksgiving because God is worthy of our thanks. Tonight as we stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking.